Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to Issues Concerning Women, the radio talk show. I am your host, Francine Allen Humphrey, and as always, it is my pleasure and my delight to be with you. If this is your first time tuning in to the broadcast, I thank you so very much. If you are a longtime listener, I thank you also, because without you, we would not still be here. Tonight's show is going to be hosted by myself, and Veronica McMillan is my co-host, and she may join me, I'm not sure, but we are always ready and willing and able to get started. So welcome to Issues Concerning Women. I am hosting tonight, and my co-host is Veronica McMillan of the Micro Nonprofit Network Incorporated. Issues Concerning Women focuses on women and their families reaching long and short-term goals, assisting them in the areas of business, careers, housing, finance, and life skills. The Micro Nonprofit Network Incorporated helps small nonprofit organizations become foundationally strong through education, coaching, mentoring, and program development for 501c3 organizations. Veronica and I offer advocacy services to infuse and stabilize households and foster a sense of community involvement, self-worth, and self-determination. Our vision is to empower women through hands-on demonstrations, details of home ownership, career development, investing for retirement, exercise and nutrition classes, entrepreneurship, relationship building, and adult literacy programs. I am so excited to be with you tonight, and Veronica is going to join me. So good evening, Veronica.
Good evening, Francine. Can you hear me okay?
I can. I'm just going to let the audience know that there have been a lot of drops in communication with the phone systems, and we are online and connected through a server. So if we drop for any reason, we will try to log back in and get back with the broadcast. So I just wanted to put that out there because a lot is going on with the 5G and all the other good stuff. So, yes, Veronica, I can hear you loud and clear. Can you hear me?
One. Yeah, I've been having problems with my phone all day long. My telephone been just disconnecting and everything. So, yeah.
Yes. So you're not alone. It has been happening all week. I think it started on Tuesday. They were doing some upgrades and adding 5G to some locations and some other things that they're doing. So, and I think some of the companies are joining together. So we don't know what that's going to look like. But anyway, we're going to keep it rolling. And hopefully we can get through the next 26 minutes without anything interrupting our broadcast. So I'm so happy that you're here with me, Veronica. So tonight I want to pretty much talk about what has been happening the last few weeks. And I know you have a wonderful program that you've started called Beyond the March. So I want to talk about that, and then I want to talk about a few other things. So we're going to start with that. So I'm going to let you take it away, my good friend.
Okay, well, just like you said, Francine, so much is going on, and what we're trying to do is just to be a platform for empowerment, advocacy, and being able to have a voice in the community with so much stuff that's going on. And so the Beyond the March is just a movement or a platform where strategists are coming together to talk about our next move, our next step in helping kick the can down the road a little bit further. Because I know that there are a lot of things that's going on. We saw that the governor just did Friday at Juneteenth, Celebration Day, and so we want to be a part of a movement where we're going to be able to see some goals and some outcomes in the future. And so Saturday of next week, we're going to be doing our candlelight service as well as women's strategy meeting at our office, 602 B, Virginia Beach Boulevard. And again, just like I said, just come together to strategize on a plan to develop something that's going to be long-term. And I don't know what that something is just yet, Francine, but I know that when women come together, we come together united for one particular or two particular things, and that's what we'll be working on. So that's sort of kind of where we are right now. And then, of course, last week I had the show, and I was just telling everybody basically to really be on their, to be on guard with their businesses, pay attention to what's going on and how things are moving, and you still got to do your work. You're still in business, and you got to keep on doing that. So that's just something that we picked up, you know, in this time that we wanted to make sure that our voice was heard as well, and that we are collectively joining with others to try and dismantle systematic system that's in place. And that's going to take some time because we have 400 years of slavery and institutionalized systematic racism. So a march alone is not going to be enough, Francine. And so I believe that it's going to take a collective of people coming together to make a difference in the community. So that's what we're doing.
Okay. And Veronica, I hate to tell you this, but you're going to have to start over because we lost the call. And I had to, yes. So we're going to have to start right back from the beginning. So the call did drop, but I have you back now. So.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's so crazy. Oh, my goodness.
I know she is still talking, but I got it, girl. I'm over here. I'm working it out. So we are back live.
Okay.
So we just start from the beginning.
Wow. Okay.
This is the technology. Yes.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay, so if I drop or you hear me going out, say Veronica, because sometimes I think it's my phone, but it's been going on too much just to be my telephone. But basically, you ask what we're doing, and it's just the candlelight service that we're going to have in the community on Saturday, next Saturday, for women to come together to strategize and really to be able to be a voice for one another and then be a part of the collective solution, because it's going to be more than just one voice. It has to be a collective, everybody, you know, having some skin in the game and making a difference in the community. So that's what we're doing, along with just keeping up with the business. We got to do that as well. We can't lose sight of what we're doing in terms of our businesses as well, Francine.
Okay, great. And I apologize for that. Anybody who's, you know, was listening, I think it was like, okay, I did warn you that this might happen today. I kind of had that feeling because it's been happening so frequently. So we want you to know that we're still here and we'll continue with the show until 7. And so I want to just reiterate a few things, Veronica, about the Beyond the March. We did have that wonderful conversation with some of the city leaders and in the community. And can you talk a little bit about that? Because maybe somebody didn't hear all about what had happened before this part right here.
Yeah. And Chief Wright wanted me to tell you, Francine, that you lifted his spirit with that prayer. So I want to put that out there, too. When you prayed at the end of the call, I connected back with him at the end of the following week, and he told me to say, whoever that person was that was praying surely lifted me. And I had in my mind, I was like, yep, I kind of knew that that would happen when she prayed. And so definitely he wanted me to pass that on to you. But the call was primarily to bring people together to talk about solutions, to talk about what can we do in the community to help move this thing along, because we know that it's different, Francine. We know that this is not the same kind of march or same kind of energy that's in the air like it was some time ago. This is something new and different, and I believe we have a pivotal point. I really do believe that God is going to use this thing to turn some stuff around, because we're seeing statues coming down and all of that stuff. But the call was to bring community leaders together to help come up with a strategy or to start talking about some of the things that we're going to be doing or trying to do to help bring resolution to this systemic racism. But it's going to be a long haul, Francine. You know that. It's going to be something that's going to take
absolutely.
A while, because it's so deep. So yeah. So that's what the purpose of the call.
Okay, absolutely great. And one of the things that I've done and I wanted to share with the audience tonight is I've made a commitment, and I've always been committed to helping with personal finance and business development and helping people grow their businesses. But I made a commitment on Tuesday to help 12 families in the next 6 months. And what that looks like is getting together with whoever wants to sit down and have a conversation about their finances. I know that a lot of families are hurting, and you may not want everybody to know your business. It will be personal and private. I don't charge for this. This is just one of the things that we do within the organization, because I also know that this is different. A lot of people are not going to go back to work, Veronica. A lot of people are not going to be able to reopen their businesses, and each day more and more businesses are closing. My husband told me that Burlington Coat Factory is going out of business. He went
wow.
today to get a birthday present for my son, who is 28 years old today. Happy birthday, Deshaun. I had to get that little plug in. And the store, he said the store is empty. And so
wow.
we just don't really know the full dynamic economic downtrend that's going to happen, but we know that
mm-hmm.
several things are going to happen. And so I don't want to be a naysayer on the call today, because there's so much going on in the world, but I do want the opportunity to work with families. And what I've done, Veronica, is I've reached out to the clergy, the ministers, because I feel
mm-hmm.
that as a church body, we have a lot of connections to the people. We know who they are, where they are, and we kind of know what they're going through. And
mm-hmm.
I can say that I've been reaching out to them, and I have not gotten a great response. And I have to be honest and truthful, Veronica. You know, I'm a truth teller. You know,
mm-hmm.
I know hundreds of ministers. And so I'm putting it out there, and if I put you on blast, then it's okay, because I know you're busy, I'm busy, Veronica's busy, everybody is busy. But when another clergy comes to you and says, hey, we need to do something for our people, and if you don't have a heart for people, then that's fine. And I'm not saying that anybody does or does not, but just take the opportunity to be open, because this is one of our problems in the African American community. When somebody
mm-hmm.
talks to you about money, you don't want to listen. Evidently, you have all the money that you need. So all of my clergy friends and all of their business churches are, you know, just booming and just overflowing with money, and God is chasing them down. And I know it's not about the money. We're not chasing money. But I know the truth that a lot of people are hurting, and
mm-hmm.
we need to figure out a way to help them to develop some new skills. And what that looks like is prepare them for, if something like this ever happens again, having 3 to 6 months of income, which really is not enough, Veronica, because we've already passed the third month, and people – still don't know what they're going to do and don't have any money saved, and they never save. I'm opening this up, and I'm broadcasting it all across the world, because this radio station goes all across the world. So any clergy that wants to partner with me to have that conversation, I'm open to it. And when we go on the 27th, I'll have information to hand out then, Veronica, if that's okay with you, because we really need to talk about the money piece, and it's safe. I'm not talking about putting your money in the stock market and risking your money. I'm talking about safe money strategies where people don't have to worry. If they don't get another stimulus check, what in the world are these people going to do? What are they going to do? So it has been, you know, people ask you what keeps you up at night. This is one of the things that keeps me up at night. I get phone call after phone call after phone call, and I don't have an answer for everything. But I do have some answers and some solutions, and so I'm opening it up. I've went on Facebook. I've gone on all of my social media pages, and I put this out there. And I'm there. And if nobody stands with me, I've been known to stand alone, so I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to
mm-hmm.
do what I have to do, because it has been ordained by God for us to take care of his people and whatever that looks like. Because I know a lot of pastors are doing a lot of things. I'm not saying they're not. I'm just saying
mm-hmm.
when I send it out to 200, 300 pastors and only get two or three, I see a problem. I see a problem there. So.
Yeah.
So Veronica, I'm going to let you take it from here because you know I can go somewhere, girl, with some stuff. You know?
it's amazing that you're talking about this. Because in my class today, I'm still doing my TCC classes via Zoom. And one of my students is, she's working and she's graduating high school. And we were talking about this financial piece. And I was asking them, what was their financial strategy? And she said to me, she doesn't know her financial strategy. She wants to find someone to talk to about it because she's getting ready to graduate high school. She's working, and she wants to be able to invest. She wants to be able to learn the things that she needs to know at 19 that I didn't get until I was probably about 35 years old, Francine. And so I told her that I was going to hook her up with you, and so that she can have, you know, basically, because here's just a young woman getting ready to graduate high school, getting ready to go to college. Well, in college, she's doing that dual major thing at TCC now. And so I think this is so important when we talk about beyond the march. We got to have financial strategies. We cannot keep thinking that it is going to be pie in the sky, something is going to fall out, a stimulus check. We've already seen, it was crazy. I think I was looking at Nightline, or not Nightline, I was looking at Lester Holt, and he did a chart on how many businesses were in place just before the pandemic, black-owned businesses. Then they did it after the pandemic. It was horrible, Francine. How many black businesses closed up or going to close up, along with some of the big ones as well. But we didn't see this thing coming, and we all have lived on shoestring budgets for so long that we got to put strategies in place. It just doesn't make sense to not plan. But it's what we got to do if we're going to do something that is going to be positive. And we got to get past this. We got to get past and see that money drives things as well. And we got to figure this out. So I'm happy that you're doing that. I'm glad that you're going to have that information for the meeting on the 27th. I definitely want my students to be connected with you so that she will have somebody that knows this, because that's what she said to me. She said, I don't know what to do. She said, I don't know who to ask or what have you. And that, here, this is a baby. You know what I mean? To have a young woman really start thinking about her own finances at 19 years of age, that is amazing. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
because
kudos to you.
Thank you. And because this thing is really, it's what's keeping me up at night. You know, I'm a master financial trainer. I have certification. I have all these certificates and all of this information and knowledge. And I didn't get it until I was older. At 19, I was married, you know, with a baby and with a, you know, get ready to buy a house at, you know, 21.
Yeah.
And just thinking about where we are right now. You know, like you said, Veronica, marching is great. Taking down the statues, wonderful. Juneteenth is going to be a national holiday tomorrow. Kudos to that. But what about how are we going to make it? We cannot sit here and wait for another check from the government. It may never come. And if it does come, wonderful. I'm great. But let me teach you what to do with it when you get it. And let me teach you how to find money that you didn't even know you had. Because most people think they don't have money, but sometimes they do. But it's sitting down with somebody who can pull things from you and put things together. That's what I do. I pull and I push, you know, and I put things together. I've always done that. And I've not always been good at doing it. But now I'm in a place where I'm better with it myself. I can't teach you something that I didn't experience myself. So it's not that, you know, I just went to school and learned all this stuff. No, this is life experience plus education. And so there's an education problem in our country, and we don't get it. And so when we get to Social Security age and you get that little letter in the mail and it says you're going to get $1,000 a month if you retire when you're 63, but if you wait till you're 66, you're going to get $1,200. And if you wait till you're 70, you're going to get $1,400. $1,400 a month is below the poverty line for any individual that lives in America. So getting excited about that does not excite me. I know it doesn't excite anybody else. So people thinking that they're going to, you know, okay, I worked all my life, I'm going to get Social Security. But that, what does that look like for you? Because most people don't even know what it looks like, Veronica. They're thinking they're going to get this big check, and they're not.
Yeah.
And so we have to have these things in place. And I'm ready, willing, and able to do that. I'm putting my name on the line to do this, and I'm really serious about it. And again, like I said, if I have to stand by myself, but I know my sister girl going to stand with me, so I'm not worried about that.
Oh, yeah.
I know she's going to stand with me on this.
Yeah.
And because we have to do something different. You know, people talk about, you know, Black Wall Street and what that looked like, but those people worked really hard to earn all of those millions of dollars that they earned, and they kept it in their community, and they were strategic about what they were doing. And we have to do the same thing again. For me, I may not see all the wealth that I want to see in my lifetime, but if I can teach a 19-year-old who's going to college how to prepare herself for for her living now, to sustain herself to the time she's ready to buy a house, to make sure that when she retires, she has tax-free retirement, then my job has been done. So, and make her money out without having to pay taxes on it. See, there's so many things that nobody teaches us, but I, now that I know, I want to teach other people, so they have to be open to that. So, Veronica, I'm done with my soapbox, and so please give them your information and how they can get in touch with you, and give them the date again for the prayer vigil at the office.
Yeah. This soapbox is a good soapbox, Francine, because it's something that is that's as important for our community. And then I'm saddened by Black churches. I just got to put that out there. And I think this is part of God's reckoning as well. I think that we're going to see a disruption in the church as well. I don't think we're going to see church as usual because of the fact that people have been giving tithes and offerings, but no one is teaching them how to live off of that other 90% that they're supposed to be giving. If you're giving 10% to God, how are you teaching me how to live off the other 90%? Because you really, truly pay your tithes and offerings. You know what I mean? You get that over and over again. But I can't, Francine, I have been in church all my life. I can't remember but one or two possible investment sort of kind of thing. You know, they come and they go. And as long as I've been in church, and I think that this is a deficit for the African-American community, which is a stumbling block for us, because maybe we're not going to get hired by some company, but if we have our own money, saving our own money to do what we need to do, then I can run my little small business and live off of my small business money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I know that I got some savings, I got some investments, and all of that in place. So you stay on the soapbox. I think that that is that, that economic empowerment is what we got to have. I think that's a strategy for moving forth, because if we don't have it, when another march comes and they burn down the building, what if they burn down your job? How are you going to make it for 6 months? What you going to have? Because, again, it's got to be a strategy in place. And so I think this is one of those things that we got to be – we just got to keep on pushing. And if we get one or two that can see this, because, I mean, it's crazy that you said that. I just – my class was from 2 to 3:40. And this little 19-year-old said that to me, and I told her, I said, when we get done, you and I are going to connect, because I already knew I was going to connect her with you, because at 19, to have the insight to want to do this, I think that is what we need. So to get back to what you said in regards to the Candlelight Service Strategy Meeting, June 27th at our office, coming together, women coming together to really process some of that feeling that we have on the inside, and then basically to strategize, what are we going to do? How are we going to do it? Granted, there are going to be white women that are going to be there, but that is still the women that we want to be there as well. We want those who basically thought they didn't have a voice to be there, but basically coming together to strategize and to empower one another in a way that's going to be meaningful and purposeful, and that we can see little baby steps, because that's what I think people got to understand, Francine, since we're on this financial piece, that it is going to be a baby step at a time. This is not going to be a giant Superman leap that in 3 years you're going to have $100,000 unless you got some money hidden somewhere else, and it's going to make money turn over like I don't know what. But with the stock market going up and down, I think everybody's looking at their 401ks and all of that stuff because of the fact that it's dipping in and out. And so we got to have this. And so I think it's so important that it is something that has to be a strategy when we move forward in wherever it is that God is taking us, and that we got to have our finances in place. We had Black Wall Street, but then white folk burned it down to the ground. And then those people had to start all over again. And they started all over again in a different kind of environment where the environment was not right for them because nobody wanted to lend any money, nobody wanted to do anything, you know what I mean? And so we got to teach that. So I'm just happy that this is the way of the call tonight. We're talking about financial empowerment, and it is important that they get it, and it's important that we begin to do, to make these baby steps. Maybe it's the young people that you're going to have to educate, Francine, because old ones tend to, oh, I know about this. And so for a young, for a 19-year-old to have the wherewithal to say, you know what, I need to get my finances together, it may be that group that you start off with. You know what I mean? And if you're going to get them into policies and get them into being able to put their monies away where they can have it, by the time you get 40, you got some money if you do this thing right.
Absolutely. And I'm so grateful that, you know, we are having this conversation. I will keep talking about it, and I will keep moving forward with it, because I know that there's a lot of misconceptions about money and all of that. And being in the ministry, we hear all of those little things that people say, but we know that we need money to run our businesses, money to run our homes, money to just have an exchange for whatever it is that we want to do, you know, and that's why money was put here, to do that, to exchange. If you don't have anything to exchange with anybody, how in the world are you going to make it? You're not going to make it. So I'm definitely excited about it, and I will keep, you know, moving forward with it. So if you would like to contact me, I'm going to give you my email address. It's icwdirector@gmail.com. You can follow me on Facebook because I have several pages there. Just type in my name, Francine Humphrey. You will find me. Or you can go to the org website. And Veronica, I know you want to give your information, so in case somebody's listening and they want to contact you beforehand, because we will really need to have a sense of who's going to be showing up on the 27th so that we know how to prepare for that.
Exactly. So info@themicrononprofitnetwork.org is the email, and then the website is www.micrononprofitnetwork.org. I keep coming back to this thing that I live in me, because I know I've been blessed. I'll say in the midst of this COVID-19, I actually saved money, because I'm not spending the money for gas, not having to do that. And trust me, that went into a savings account, that went settled into something where I'm not sitting up there spending money. I'm not running to go get no nails, feet, hair. None of that's done. You know, because I think we're wasting our assets, Francine, and we got to figure out how to do this thing better. So, I mean, we on that financial piece tonight, and so I said, let's just stay with that, because it's so I think it's so important that we can say these things to those persons who listen to us, and those who don't want to listen, They do their own thing, but there are people out here that we just got to connect to that are ready and making sure that we help, you know, we help pour into them and give them the tools that they need to make the next step.
Absolutely. And there's one little scripture that I want to share, and it's very short, and somebody can read the rest of it when they get an opportunity. It is Psalms 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So if you get an opportunity, just take your Bible or Google it if you don't have a Bible, and just read that, because God wants us to have our needs met, and he does not want us to suffer and those who have information need to share it. And that's all I'm going to say. So, my friend, we have come to the end of another wonderful, fabulous show on Issues Concerning
yes.
Women, the radio show. I love you, my sister. We will talk soon, and God bless all our listeners. And come back next week. Goodbye.
Take care. Bye-bye now.